Good morning, everybody. Palm Sunday's here, and although we're unable to meet, I would like to pass on a few thoughts for you to think about today. Of course, there were crowds who attended Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and so it's sad that we can't meet, but we have to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. But as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, there was much more going on under the surface than just a victory march. When you think that just a few short days later, probably many who were in that crowd that welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem with a hero's welcome would cry out for his crucifixion, you've got to ask, what was going on there? And what was in the heart and mind of Jesus? What really terrible struggles took place in the spiritual world between the triumphant Palm Sunday and what looked like the disastrous Friday later? People crying, Hosanna, is a transliteration from Hebrew into Greek and then into English. And it comes from Psalm 118, verse 25, and it seems to mean, save now, please. And although the people might not yet understand any of this, this is what Jesus had come to do, as we see in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Corrie ten Boom, who was born on the 15th of April in 1892, and died on the 15th of April 1984, was a Dutch watchmaker, and later she was a writer who worked with her father, Caspar ten Boom, and her sister, Betsy ten Boom, and other family members. They helped many Jews escape the Nazis from the Holocaust during World War II by hiding them in her home at the risk of potential death as the penalty for rescuing and harbouring Jews. And she was once asked if it were difficult for her to remain humble given her life. And her reply was very simple. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on the back of a donkey, and everyone was waving palm branches and throwing garments onto the road and singing praises, do you think that for one moment it ever entered the head of that donkey that any of that was for him? And she continued, if I can be the donkey on which Jesus Christ rides in his glory, I give him all the praise and all the honour. What an attitude. And speaking about humility, allowing a big fuss to be made of him was not normal for Jesus. You see, for much of his ministry, he urged people to be quiet about who he was. When he healed people, he told them not to say anything quite often. When he confronted demons who recognized him as the Son of God, he told them literally to shut up. And that's because it wasn't time for him to declare himself yet as the Messiah. But on Palm Sunday, today, all those centuries ago, the time had finally come. And amazingly, at a time in history when there were no advertising hoardings, no telephones, social media and the likes, the only way that this crowd could have known that Jesus was coming was by word of mouth. And how impressive is that if you have all those people coming without our modern day methods of communication? But sadly, although he came in peace to bring peace, the salvation from the taxation imposed by the Romans was the freedom and the delivery and the triumph that the Jewish people were looking for, not the salvation of their souls. And so just a few days later, they'd prefer Barabbas, the criminal, to be freed instead of Jesus. And Jesus knew all of this would happen as he was riding into Jerusalem on the donkey with people shouting, Hosanna. And that is why he wept. But just another thought here. If Jesus knew that a donkey was waiting for him in the next town, as he told his disciples earlier, he certainly knows what's down the road for you. And you may not know how this coronavirus issue is going to turn out, but Jesus does. We don't know what the aftermath of this pandemic is going to be. You know, will the economy languish for ages or will it recover quickly? Will we get back to high levels of employment and will most people's businesses recover? Some of you are thinking, will my education be seriously affected by this? But Jesus already knows how he plans to provide for you. And understanding that Jesus knows all things gives us confidence to follow his directions. See, one of the ways in which many of us are being tested is that we like control. Let's be honest. We like to feel that we're in control of our lives and that what we decide to do, we can achieve. But God, it seems, prefers our vulnerability. And if with all that's going on, we haven't been able to accept our own vulnerability and total dependence on God so far, and if we've not stopped trying to project that invulnerable image and judging other people for their obvious weaknesses, then we've probably missed a lesson that we need to learn right now. You see, only God is righteous. Only God is full of grace and truth. I talked about God's justice a couple of weeks ago. God is the just one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. This is because of God's love. But if God were just holy and not loving, we would have been destroyed by now. And when we say God is love, quoting scripture, we know that this is completely true, but if God were merely love, then the lack of discipline would destroy us. You see, a holy God cannot disregard rebellion in us, and a loving God cannot disregard his children, but a God who is both loving and holy will do things beyond what we can possibly imagine or understand. So back to Jesus' purpose in riding into Jerusalem in the way in which he did. Rick Gillespie Mobley is a pastor at New Life Church, or New Life at Calvary Church in Cleveland, Ohio, and in a book called Choose Your Attitude, this is what he says: at the heart of Palm Sunday is Jesus' desire to bring peace into our lives and to be willing to carry whatever burdens in life are weighing us down. But the only way Jesus can complete his desire is for us to allow him to march in and take over without having to fight us along the way. Have you ever told God, you can march over there, but don't come this way because I'm not yet ready to surrender? Wherever Jesus is not fully welcome in our lives is where the real battle is taking place for our attitudes, says Rick. We're doing all kinds of things, hoping to find some peace. But God is saying, until you get your attitude together right here, you shall not have peace as you seek for it. There's a lot in that quote. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that even Jesus would hide himself from his enemies from time to time, and that we have to be sensible and not foolish and not tempt God. But not this time in Jesus' case. Jesus knew that the religious leaders were out to get him, and yet instead of slinking into the city under cover of darkness, he rides triumphantly in a manner that can only say, look at me, I am the Messiah. Interestingly, during times of war, conquerors would ride in chariots or upon gigantic war horses. But in times of peace, the king would ride a colt to symbolize that peace prevailed. So Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a colt was a declaration that he is the king proclaiming peace. Of course, we know how the story goes on with the death and resurrection of Jesus a week later. And for those cynics and skeptics who like to deny the resurrection ever took place, we've got to consider that the Christian church was born in this very city where Jesus was publicly killed and buried. So if the resurrection was a fable invented by the disciples, as some said at the time, how did it take root with such force in Jerusalem and grow to encompass the whole world? You see, even though we're a small gathering of people in Kirriemuir, which is, let's say, a rural outpost, isn't it amazing to think that the Christian church that we are a part of is now the largest institution that exists or has ever existed in the history of humanity? Going through the gates of Jerusalem, the people were throwing their coats on the ground before Jesus. And I wonder whether some of the people Jesus had healed in that crowd. Where was the exaltation coming from? Why were they in such high spirits? Maybe there were some of the thousands he'd fed with just 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish in that crowd. Maybe in that crowd were some who'd seen some of the many other miracles that Jesus had performed. And there would be lots there, no doubt, who would have heard Jesus preach and teach before. Perhaps they'd listened to Jesus and their lives had been changed. But Jesus didn't make it through the gates of Jerusalem unscathed. In that holy city, he was beaten and then taken outside to be crucified as if he were some kind of criminal. This was the ultimate shame, the ultimate death that the Roman Empire could impose on their worst criminals. But this wasn't a tragic mistake. This had been God's plan all along. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday culminates in the tragic death of Jesus and the dispersal of the disciples, who were in despair, thinking all was lost. So just think of the triumphant joy which they all experienced when he rose from the dead again. And so many of them witnessed it, starting with the women. And think of the wonderful news that we've been given, that Jesus has paid the debt for us, and that we have been made righteous through his righteousness, through that triumphant act and our acceptance of the gift of eternal life through our faith in Jesus. So today, let's just keep our hearts and minds focused on what the Lord has done for us and thank him for his wonderful grace and love, and his assurance that he will be with us in all circumstances to the end. Bless you all. Amen.